Thank you, Brother Jose. Good evening, everyone. Excellent. You haven't forgotten. Hopefully you won't ever forget it. I'm happy to be here today. Forgive me, my notes for tonight are all on my phone. I have some thoughts that have been on my heart for a couple of weeks now. I've been putting notes and thoughts into my phone here, and so I have some things I want to just discuss tonight. I want to go ahead and I want to begin tonight in Exodus in the 35th chapter. And like I said, I've been thinking about these things for some time, and it was interesting. Jose kind of, he talked about this this particular story in this Exodus story in the house of Israel leaving Egypt. He talked about it a little bit today. And I'm not necessarily going to talk in the same direction he did, but if you haven't read this particular chapter, it's kind of cool. I'll start and I'll just read the verses I want to. I'll say a couple things and then we'll just draw it back to my message here. But I'm going to start in verse 1. It says, Moses gathered all the congregation of the children of Israel together and said unto them, these are the words which the Lord hath commanded that you should do them. 6 days shall work be done, but on the seventh day there shall be unto you an holy day, a Sabbath of rest to the Lord, and whosoever doeth work therein shall be put to death. It's pretty serious. You shall kindle no fire throughout your habitations upon the Sabbath day. And I'm just going to stop there, but he's rehearsing back to them this commandment that the Lord gave about the Sabbath day. And we're going to talk about that a little bit more. But you know, one of these things I think is interesting there is he begins this, and you know, we look at the scripture, and in our mind, because everything's written, you know, we got verse 1, verse 2, verse 3, verse 4, in our mind we think, well, everything here happened just like that. You know, Moses said all that, and then Moses finished saying verse 3, and then he said verse 4. And I don't necessarily think that's the truth. He makes this statement talking to the people about how you approach the Lord. And then verse 4, you look at it, and he's, you know, he's talking to the people about building this tabernacle. And they needed things to do it. I mean, here they are, they're traveling across the desert. And so the first thing Moses tells the people, says, God says, I want you to spend a day, take a day, and make sure that nothing is distracting you from me. And then he makes this statement. He's talking to him. So we, you know, we need to build this place so that we can worship God, the Lord who took us out of Egypt and everything. He said, this is what I want you to do, a place where you can come. And so Moses says, prepare yourself. You know, separate yourself on the Sabbath day. And then he talks to him and he says, I want every one of you who has a willing heart, bring silver and gold and goat's fur and ram's wool and all this stuff. He says, you know, and he lays out this giant list of things that they need to build this tabernacle. And then in verse 21 it says, those people came, everyone whose heart was stirred up in him, and everyone whose spirit was made willing, and they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle of the congregation for all his service and for the holy garments. It's kind of a cool thing. Kind of a cool thing. Moses says, I want to show you this picture of what God says. Is if you take some time away and you draw close to me, it says the Lord helped them to have a willing heart, and he was able to use. And I just think verse 21 here is so cool. It says, then they came, everyone whose heart was touched, and they brought these things. And like Jose told us this morning, they brought too much. Too much. The Lord touched their heart and encouraged them to give to a physical thing, but it was deeper than that. It was really deeper than that. So thinking about that, you know, I guess all that, it did kind of go together with what I want to talk about tonight. But I want you to remember this. At the beginning of this particular story, the Lord speaks through Moses and says, set aside time for me. Don't be working. Don't even light a fire. And we know, you know, this pattern of the what the Lord was trying to get the people to do, you know. I mean, even when he was feeding them with manna, you know, that day before the Sabbath, they had extra. The Lord provided extra food. He says, you gather extra so you don't have to come out and try to gather something on the Sabbath day. The Lord said, I don't want you to busy yourself. So I want to continue thinking about this, and I want to turn to the book of Jeremiah. and I've passed it up. And I'm going to go to chapter 17 here in Jeremiah. And I'm just going to read verses 21 through 25. And remember, this is, as you kind of look through here, Jeremiah has got this really sad life. His life as he is looking at, and he is this kind of last cry to the people. Say, remember God who did all these things. Remember. And you look, you read this particular, all of the book of Jeremiah, and you think, man, this guy had a pretty rotten life. His life was just, sad. Calling to the people and say, remember God. God who did these things. Give him your time. Give him your heart. So here we see Jeremiah is speaking to the people, the words of God, and it's kind of this recounting of Israel, of the things that they were prone to do, that humans are prone to do. And so in verse 21, I'll read 21 through 25, chapter 17. It says, thus saith the Lord, take heed to yourselves, and bear no burden on the Sabbath day, nor bring it in by the gates of Jerusalem, neither carry forth a burden out of your houses on the Sabbath day, neither do you any work, but hallow ye the Sabbath day, as I commanded your fathers. But they obeyed not, neither inclined their ear, and made their neck stiff, that they might not hear nor receive instruction. And it shall come to pass, if you diligently hearken to me, saith the Lord, to bring in no burden through the gates of this city on the Sabbath day, but hallow the Sabbath day to do no work therein, there shall enter into the gates of this city kings and princes sitting upon the throne of David, riding in chariots and on horses, they and their princes and the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and this city shall remain forever. And so in this recounting, the Lord is speaking to Jeremiah and says, remember, I asked you guys, you know, to give me time, not bear a burden. Don't carry anything out of your house. Don't bring it into your house. Don't let anything pass through your gates. And if you'll do that, he says, I'm gonna send you kings and princes, people to lead you who has the heart of David, a servant who is there to battle on their behalf and who is loving and kind and all of that. And so we look in these two verses, and there's a ton of them, and there's this thing that the Lord says over and over again. He makes a statement in the Old Testament. The Old Testament, I want you to remember this. I had shared this a couple of weeks ago. I was listening to something on the Old Testament, and this comment was made about the importance of the Old Testament. So much of Christianity today wants to say, well, it was, you know, Christ said he fulfilled, we don't need to be concerned about it, all that sort of stuff. But you know, this thought that was shared that I believe is absolutely the truth. It's kind of clicked in my mind what I've believed throughout my mature spiritual life. And you know, the importance of the Old Testament is that the Old Testament was about learning self-discipline, about examining yourself and who you are, about understanding the nature of God, about understanding that He has rules, He has requirements, He has blessing, there are consequences. And this is the importance of it. And so, you know, this is important that we remember. These words were shared with the house of Israel so that they could understand and look at themselves, and they could understand and look at God. And what is it that God was looking for? And recognize that there are blessings and there are consequences and all of these things. And so the Lord tells the people, He says, I want you to give me time. He says, one day a week. He says, don't carry anything. Don't lift up anything. Don't carry it. Don't take the time to light a fire. Don't do any of that. And you know, and I spent some time thinking about that, and I thought, you know, why is that important? Why is that important? What was it? Now, I would bet that it probably wasn't really common that if someone on the Sabbath day was seen carrying a stick, that they went and killed him. It probably did happen to some point, but it probably didn't happen a lot. Maybe it did. I could be wrong. I obviously wasn't there. But what we see is through the course of time and through written history that I believe to be true in the Scriptures, is that when mankind began to forget these commandments of God, their life became more complicated, more difficult. They fell into paths that were not beneficial. It caused destruction and all of these things. So why this commandment? the Lord said. Don't even pick anything up. And you know, when I look at it, I think, well, it's because God knows our tendencies. He knows our tendencies. We are, mankind in general, maybe not everybody here, but mankind in general, we are prone to excess, right? If it's good to eat, it's good to eat a lot of, right? If there's if there's something you like to do, well, doing a little bit of it is good. Doing a lot of it must be even better. This is human nature. You know, one of these things, remember this Old Testament, help us to see who you really are. Recognize yourself and our tendencies. And so God tells the people, he says, don't even pick up a stick. Don't even do it. Not because that stick is going to destroy you, but because we're easily distracted. How easily distracted are we? We didn't sing a second song this morning because someone made an announcement. Gary, how many years have you been coming to church? 20-something years, and every single one, we sing two songs with few exceptions, and yet we're prone to distraction. One prayer request, and we all of a sudden forget the second song. Right? Not a big issue. But you know, this is what the Lord, I believe this is his reasoning. And so, you know, he makes these statements, and he says, I want you to do everything you can to lay down all of your burdens. If you look at the story of Israel leaving Egypt and that time of Passover, the Lord said, I want you to be so intentional that you search every corner of your house and you take out anything that's impure. I want you to look at this so seriously that there's not a corner, there's nothing in your house that you haven't flipped over and made sure there isn't any leaven or anything in there. It's got to be taken out. And so, you know, the Lord is saying, when I'm going to move and you want me to move with you and upon you and in you and through you, you can't have these things that are separating. This is our challenge. This is the challenge of our life. It's a challenge of mankind about being very intentional and being intentional. You know, I'll tell you that right now my life is overwhelmed. I'm dreaming about heart rhythms. I'm dreaming about them. It really irritates me because I used to have such fun dreams, and now it's like I can't get out of school. Even when I'm not in school, I'm dreaming about heart rhythms. This is us. We get so easily sucked into something. And the Lord says, I want you to lay down your burdens, to come to me. Moses said, we're going to build a place that you can go and worship God, but before you do it, take some time and lay down your burdens. All those things that matter, let's take some time to not even worry about it. Now, this is not something that we do just like this. This is the difficulty of life, is getting rid of the things that separate us from God. Yesterday I was I'd taken some time from studying and everything, and I was out working in my shop and putting some stuff together, and I'm listening to a podcast on I've been listening, and I've shared it before, Jordan Peterson, and he's taking this psychological look, not a religious look, but a psychological look at the stories in Genesis. And he was going through, I was really interested in it because I remember several years ago, Jay had preached a sermon about this, about Jacob and him wrestling with an angel. And I thought, oh, this is going to be interesting. And so I'm listening to it, and I'm fiddling around, I'm doing stuff, and you know, I'm building frames for my beehive, and I'm gluing, and I'm smacking, chickens are coming into my shop and all this stuff, and I'm trying to stay focused on it. And I'm listening to what he's talking about, and how he says, you know, this particular concept here is about the focus it takes to have. He says, you know, what is kind of depicted here is what, you know, it's this very primitive type of prayer, or this example of prayer, of seeking a higher power. And, you know, several years ago when Jay preached that, he talked about that. He says, you know, I don't understand exactly what it is, but it's got to be something about approaching the Lord. And so I'm sitting there thinking about that, and I get a text message. I get a text message from, and I sent out a prayer request for my friend Dan. Sent out a prayer request for him and his wife. He texted me, and we, you know, I tried to keep up with these good friends that I've had over the years. The Lord was very good to me in my life. He's put good people in my path. And Danny was one of these, is one of these guys. He texted me, and it was, I know him well enough to know it was a text, so I'm doing okay. And it was just, hey man, I just want to tell you I love you and I miss you. All right, man, what's going on? I mean, I love you and I miss you too. What's going on? And he began talking to me about these things that are going on in his life. I don't want to make too much of this, but there are these things that we endure in life that and have found as a consequence of the career fields that I've chosen. There's these things that end up staying with you and really causing you to struggle. A lot of us have dealt with it, and this is where Danny's at. And he's got issues as well. He and his wife, trying to have children and very discouraged. And so he's laying all these things out to me, and I'm thinking in my mind about this concept, about wrestling with God. And I want to just look here real quick. We'll go and just read this real fast in Genesis chapter 32. And there's some things that I think are really important that we remember. Not just about this particular story, but about this particular character. Jacob was kind of a punk. He wasn't a great guy. He got where he was at through trickery and deceit. His brother Esau was this dude who was out there, a man's man, hunting and providing and doing all of that. And Jacob, probably a little bit of a mama's boy, I'm not saying it's a bad thing necessarily, but you know, his mom helped him to do some trickery and all that to get in the position he was. And I don't pretend to understand all of that, other than this is just kind of the way that people are, right? And I believe that the scriptures, it talks about people as people are. And so here, as we look at this, I want us to remember that as you come to this story, you're coming to the point where there's this flip in Jacob. And he turns from a guy who ran away scared, who tricked his brother, who tricked his dad, who did all of these things, coming to someone who has an experience with God and begins to stand up and walk uprightly before God. So I just want you to think about that in terms of this right here. And so we'll just say that Jacob and his family are heading to a place, and he's got to pass through this land that belongs to his brother. And when his brother got taken advantage of by him, Jacob fled away because his brother was angry enough that Jacob said, "He's going to kill me. He's going to kill me." And certainly Esau probably could have. He was strong enough, and no doubt he'd killed before and all of that. So he separates. Jacob separates, sends his family different ways, and he finds himself alone. And he lays down in the middle of the night, and so we'll go to verse 24. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And that may be one of the strangest verses in the scriptures. As you keep going, when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And he said, "I will not let thee go, except thou bless me." And he said unto him, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Jacob." And he said, "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel, For as a prince thou hast power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. And Jacob asked him and said, Tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, Wherefore is it thou hast asked my name? And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. This is a weird story. A strange story. And I believe it's a literal story. And so there was something that was going on there. And as I look at this and I recognize, okay, the story's telling us if this wasn't Christ that he was wrestling with, it was an angel, it was some supernatural being with some power. And so as I read it, and it says, all night long, he and this dude were locked arm in arm in wrestling with each other. And the morning's coming, and they were still locked in this together. And I look, and I just think, okay, there's no doubt in my mind that if the desire had been for this angel to win, he certainly could have done it. Wouldn't have taken him all night. So there's got to be something to them locked and pushing against each other all day long, all night long. There had to be something significant about this. And so we're gonna think about that for a second. We're going to zip over to the Book of Mormon, and we're going to look in the Book of Enos. And we're going to begin in verse 1. It says, Behold, it came to pass that I, Enos, knowing my father, that he was a just man, he taught me in his language and in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and blessed be the name of my God for it. And I'll tell you of the wrestle. Well, here it is again. Here it is again. The wrestle that I had before God before I received a remission of my sins. Behold, I went to hunt beasts in the forest, and the words which I had often heard my father speak concerning eternal life and the joy of the saints and the word of my father sunk deep into my heart. And my soul hungered. And I kneeled down before my Maker and cried unto him a mighty prayer and supplication for my own soul. All the day long I did cry unto him, and when the night came I did still raise my voice on high that it reached the heavens. And there came a voice unto me saying, Enos, thy sins are forgiven, thou shalt be blessed. And I, Enos, knew that God could not lie, wherefore my guilt was swept away. And I said, Lord, how is it done? And he said unto me, because of thy faith in Christ, whom thou hast not heard nor seen. I'm thinking about this, and here we have two different stories, but very similar concepts. And sitting thinking this as I was having this conversation back and forth with my friend, and I'm thinking, you know, what does it mean to wrestle? Once upon a time, I used to wrestle. Aaron wrestled. Aaron was a wrestler all through high school. And I'm certain that if we were to lay out all the things that are required to do it well, we'd probably have a pretty good list. Very similar. First thing I said is it takes full focus. To wrestle against somebody, to have a match against somebody, it takes full focus. Probably like most fathers with sons throughout my boys' lives, we've wrestled quite a bit. But I found anymore, for me to prevail against my son Easton, I have to be far more focused than I used to be, because now he's bigger than me. And I have to, you know, in a wrestling match, both people, whoever is engaged in it, have to be fully focused on it, fully focused on the effort, on what they're doing. It takes a combination of fast movement. You ever watched a wrestling match? Typically, they're going to dance for a little bit, and all of a sudden, someone's going to dart in quickly and try to grab a leg or something. It's fast. But then it also takes lasting strength, because you're going to see holding and pushing and pulling and two guys pushing against each other. And how long does a wrestling match last, Aaron? I don't remember.
6 minutes.
6 minutes, yeah. And it's exhausting. Exhausting. It's exhausting if you're actually involved in it. If you are a participant in it, it takes everything in you. You're wiped out when you're done. You're exhausted physically. Wrestling requires being very close. You're going to be breathing the same air. You're going to be getting each other's sweat on you. You're going to hear them breathing. You know, you might even notice if you're choking them out a little bit, right, Aaron? All of a sudden that, you know, you take keys off these. It requires being very close and pushing yourself to the point of fatigue. So I'm thinking about this, and I'm thinking about what was it that Jacob had to do? And maybe at first, maybe this wrestling match started that Jacob was just laying there with a rock for a pillow, getting a great night's sleep on his beauty rest ground, you know, his Serta beauty rest ground and all that. And maybe all of a sudden some dude just jumps on him. Maybe for beginning, maybe part of this is he's fighting for his life. I don't know who this person is. All of a sudden, I'm just laying out here in the middle of the wilderness just trying to sleep, and some guy jumps on me and he's trying to beat me up. And maybe this is a fight for his life. You know, I don't know what all it is, but I would bet that at some point during this wrestling match, Jacob began to realize that this wasn't as much about physically overcoming. And maybe he was, maybe it was a time when he had to begin searching himself as he's physically involved. You know, searching yourself. Now, I've been in that place before as a cop. I've been in that place where I've been in a fight that I thought I would prevail quickly, and very quickly I thought this could result in my life. Our cops here probably have been in one of those where you're like, man, this didn't go the way I thought it was going to go. This could be very serious very quickly. And so I'm betting that Jacob had to do some soul searching. And I'm betting when this was over, I'm betting he was exhausted. And I bet Enos was exhausted when this was over. You know, he makes this statement. He says, I went out and I began to have a wrestle, he says, before God. Not with God, before God. And he says, it took all day and all night. And what was Enos doing? You know, he was, it says he cried in mighty prayer for his own soul. But you know, what was that? What was it that he was doing? What was he asking? What was he confessing? What was he examining? What was he doing? You know, I would assume he was probably wrestling with himself, with his humanity, with these intrusive thoughts and things that we have and all of that. You know, he felt this need for something. He had a need, and to get to where he could receive a blessing, just like Jacob, why he had to strip himself of everything. And I bet when it was done, I bet he slept for a long time. I bet he was exhausted. And I think as I look at these things, it helps me to understand. You know, this Old Testament, the nature of God and the nature of man. And, you know, when I look at this and I think, man, it takes a lot for us to really get to where the Lord is able to work in our life. It really takes a lot. It's not a casual effort. You don't go out and wrestle and do well without training and all that. With the coach that you had in high school, he used to turn the heater on in the wrestling room, right? You turn the heater on, it was the worst smelling room in the entire high school. It smelled terrible. Because you couldn't enter into a match like that if you weren't prepared and if you weren't ready to go put your whole heart into it. See, I'm talking to my friend and I'm sharing this with him. You know, I really think that a lot of our life, as we're looking for the Lord to intercede and to work, I think he's looking for a couple of things. And I think one of these first things he's looking for us to do is he's looking for us, as we come to him, to unburden ourselves. To unburden ourselves. And, you know, those burdens, it's what we wrestle with. Being humble. Overcoming our frustrations. You know, I've been in this in my life where I've been frustrated with people, frustrated with myself, frustrated with God. I'm probably not the only one who's been there. And all of those things were these burdens that I was carrying. You know, I couldn't come before the Lord. He wanted me to let those things go and to get rid of them, to overcome them, to be able to clear my thoughts and my heart and my mind, to spend a whole day and all of a night or whatever in a wrestle with God to ask him for a blessing. I had to get rid of. I had to go through a process. I had to wash myself of all those things. I shared a lot of these things with my friend and told him, you know, a wrestling match takes time. We wrestle with God, and you know, this it's a lot of effort. A lot of effort. A lot of sweat. It's a lot of difficulty. But the Lord as I look and I see stories over and over again in Scripture, and I've seen it, I've heard it rehearsed in your lives, and I've certainly seen it in mine, I see that the Lord respects our efforts. That the Lord honors our efforts. When we are able to put all of ourself away and approach Him, the Lord responds. He responds. And I don't believe that I understand everything about God, but I do believe that He respects when we've put all of ourselves out there. And so I want us to think about that. I want you to think about this. I'm going to just got a couple more things to share tonight. So I've been going through the schooling that I'm going through right now, and one of these things you're learning about is we're learning about the body and all this stuff. You know, there is a constant cycle of death and life going on within you right now. It's a constant cycle of death and life. And there's some interesting things that happen when that cycle gets off and there is more life than death. In cells, we call that cancer, right? There's more growth, more life than death. We call that cancer, and more death than life. And begin wasting away and all of that. There is, for you to live and be able to get up and be here and be relatively healthy, there is a death and a life that's constantly going on within your body. There's these super, all these interesting things I've been learning about, and I'm like, man, this is so much sermon, good examples and stuff as I've been learning all this. You know, there are things in your body that their only job, they're little vacuum cleaners, and their only job is at the end of your nerves. Once a chemical is given and it starts a response in a cell, if there's not a little vacuum cleaner that goes through there and eats it up and takes care of it, you'll die. You'll die. I've only remembered that because the name of that, acetylcholinase, because the end of it looks like a race. And I'm like, oh, a race, get rid of something and all that. I got to remember stupid stuff like that. But it's interesting, the more I look at it, the more I see that down to the tiniest little infinitesimal, small little tiny level within you, there is death and life that is constantly happening. And it has to happen. And it has to happen for you to actually live. Cells are going to die. Cells are going to be built. Blood cells are going to be built. You know, one thing, your body recognizes a need. Hey, I need more oxygen. All of a sudden it sends something and it says, build more red blood cells. And all of a sudden your body builds more red blood cells. And then all of a sudden your body says, I got too many of them. It's too many of them. Your body says, get rid of all these blood cells. And we go, and it's just like that. This very action of snapping my fingers right here, there's a million things that happen even faster than that. And in this, life and death just happen. It's an interesting concept and something that I've just been fascinated by. But I think about this. This is true spiritually. For me to be able to have a spiritual life with God, it means death of myself continually and life of God entering in. Getting rid of the things that overcome me, my frustrations, my pride, my desires to do things that I know aren't correct, all that sort of stuff, getting rid of that and putting in those things that are life, killing something and bringing in new life. This has to happen. This is part of our wrestle. This is part of letting go of these burdens that are on us. And this is scriptural. Mosiah chapter 11, Alma, as he comes awake from a coma, and he makes this statement in 187 and 188. He says, the Lord said unto me, marvel not that all mankind, men and women, all nations, kindreds, tongues, and people must be born again, born of God, changed from their carnal and fallen state to a state of righteousness, being redeemed of God, becoming His sons and daughters, and thus they become new creatures. And unless they do this, they can in no wise inherit the kingdom of God. So Alma says, we have to be, in order to accomplish and to fulfill what we were put here on earth for, we have to be involved in this process of removing and bringing in. Removing and bringing in. Look at one other example of this in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And I'll read 16 through 18. It says, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and an eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." He says, we don't faint. He says, our body, where, you know, these things that are around us, they tax us and all that, but what happens is within us, the Lord is strengthening us and renewing us day to day. This is the call of Christ. We are going to find that these human parts of us, they continually come up. We're going to find these things that separate us from God, and we got to get in this wrestling match. Get rid of those things. Get rid of our burdens. Don't be distracted. And be willing to engage with God. Engage with Him. I'm going to read three verses in the book of Isaiah chapter 26, and I'm going to close for tonight. Isaiah chapter 26. Maybe I'll just run into this, starting in verse 1. A little bit more than I said here. "In that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." You know, I want to stop on this, and I want you to remember this. For me, when I have put this deep and sincere effort of seeking the Lord, when it was over, when that blessing was received, when that situation was concluded, when all of that was done, I'm trying to think of how I want to word this. I've gained a tremendous confidence in the Lord. Confidence in the truthfulness of the word that I've been taught from the time I was a child, that I've read in the scriptures, that I've heard you guys share, and that now I also can share. And so I read this verse, and it says, you know, "That will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee." I don't believe that means that we're never going to see trouble. I don't believe what that means. It means that when we have these difficulties and we're going up against foes, or we have, you know, like Jacob here, he's got to go to a place and he's got to pass through, and he's afraid his brother's going to kill him. You know, we're in these situations where there's danger and all of that, but we have peace. We have peace because we have seen the Lord work in our life. We've been exercised by His Word. We've made changes. We know what it's like to wrestle and to seek Him and to be focused and all those things. So it says, "Keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee." That word "stayed" says to prop up, to lean upon, or to take hold of. You know, when the Lord is who is holding us and carrying us, then we have peace. It's because He trusteth in thee. "Trust ye in the Lord forever, for the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength." I'm going to jump down to verse 9. "With my soul have I desired thee in the night. Yea, with my spirit within me I will seek thee early. For when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness." He says, you know, talking about what Enos felt. "I just want the Lord to be with me." And he was willing to pour it all out before the Lord. Verse 13, "O Lord our God, other lords beside thee have had dominion over us. but by thee only will we make mention of thy name. You know, there's all these things that are going on in our life. We have all sorts of lords over us. Right now I have a lord that's called Captain Paul Merrill of the Chandler Fire Department, who sent me 3 emails thus far tonight about all the stuff that I have to do tomorrow in class. And got all these things within our life that demands a portion of us, attention to, all that. But you know, remember this, is that we have the Lord our God. He's above all. He answers where others have no ability. He desires to lift and bless us. We have all you know, our life and our time and all of that is pulled in all sorts of different ways. All sorts of different ways. We have all sorts of troubles and difficulties, and yet I hope you've experienced Jesus Christ, God his Father, and you find yourself in these times of difficulties and uncertainties that you know where to go. But what I want to encourage you tonight, as I leave you here with just some my thoughts here, is I want you to remember this. Is the first thing, you know, Moses rehearsed to the people. He says, we want to have this place where we can go in and see God and feel God and worship God. And of course, we recognize now that's not necessarily this building. It's within us. But Moses said, but if we want to do it, first thing is we have to unburden ourselves. We got to unburden ourselves. And then these 2 stories about wrestling. You know, I believe with my whole heart. What is it? I don't think that Jacob was trying to overcome an angel. I don't think that's what that was about. Maybe that angel wouldn't let him go until Jacob had a change of heart, a change of mind, till he realized the person he was. You look at the chapter after that and what he went after with. He went and he apologized to his brother. He went and asked for his forgiveness. And life changed after that. You know, maybe that's what it was. Is the Lord or the angel, the messenger Lord, wasn't going to let him go until he made some changes. I don't know. It's an interesting thing to spend some time thinking and considering. But I think it's really important that we go through the process to strip off those things that separate us from God, that we don't be afraid. If there's something that you're praying about, something that's going on in your life, something you want God to intercede on your behalf, be willing to go all out for it. Be willing to be exhausted for it. All day and all night, I'll fight, I'll push. I'm going to be all in, I'm going to be focused, I'm going to be desirous. Not to have my way, but to have just a blessing. A blessing. Jacob didn't end that and say, bless me and make me this father of nations. He said, just give me a blessing. I just want something from you. And so, hopefully I gave you a handful of things to think about, to go home and think about tonight as we just consider our walk before the Lord and how we approach Him, especially as we find ourselves in all these different times of need, which we have. And, you know, these are the things I shared with my friend and this encouragement that, you know, the Lord is looking for us to seek Him diligently. His desire is that we do that and that He'll bless us. So I appreciate your guys' attention tonight.